Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hi, we're back. Steve Cochran Show number 1063. What's the update now? He's in the building? He's not coming in? What the hell's going on?
He's prepping.
He's in makeup.
Makeup for the radio?
Yes.
Dave does it every morning.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I saw him. I think he walked in without a coat.
Mayor Emanuel has never been late for this show. Ever.
No, I know.
Ever.
He's also right behind you.
Ever.
So. But he comes bearing gifts.
He is never. I've got a gift, too. You get him a wristwatch.
A wristwatch? Okay, Papu.
Morning, Mayor. How are you?
No, wait a second.
Look at the tan on you.
You just walked on me on my time. Now, first of all.
You're late.
No, I'm not late.
What are you talking about? You were booked at 7:40.
Well, dude. Some of us decided we wanted to take the train rather than drive in.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Okay. Well, you're never late for this show.
Well, you know what? I'd like to give both of you a gift.
Thank you, Mayor. That's so sweet.
I was thinking of you.
Oh. I bet you were.
I was down at, yesterday we opened up the new Whole Foods Distribution Center that used to be in Indiana.
And I want to talk to you about
care.
That.
Yeah. Steve, you're interrupting my...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The presentation of David Andrew.
I walked in not like Happy New Year. You look really relaxed from the vacation house, the family, how are the kids?
Yeah.
No, none of that. I was actually early for my blind date with Amy. I am punctual,
yeah.
And I take that seriously because I respect other people.
I just said you've never been late till today.
You hurt my feelings, Steve. I have feelings, and that's 2018, okay?
All right, let's start over.
Method. Yeah, let's start over.
Okay,
you know what? I don't really want to start 2018 that way.
What are you giving them?
Okay, I'm giving everybody. I actually got something for you because I told Amy I was coming.
Uh-huh. Good.
So we were at the Whole Foods Distribution Center.
Yes.
150 new jobs, 1,100 in all of Pullman we've brought in the last 5 years. But Method Factory is a cleaning. It's actually all organic. They have now 100 and some odd jobs there. So this could clean countertops. Actually, Steve, this is actually good for you.
It does say all purpose.
No, yeah, all bacteria.
Yeah.
This is laundry.
Yes.
Hold on a second.
Oh.
Well, that's got to be for Mary, the laundry.
Yes,
you guys
it would
can
be
also, this is hand soap.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's great.
Andrea.
Steve,
yeah.
That's
great.
Hand soap. That's a new product for you.
That's great. With the flu going around, that's fantastic.
We froze the vegetables from the garden for last, and these are tomatoes.
That's all you need.
She wanted. She goes.
That's all you need.
She knows that in the winter you're not going no vegan. There's
that's,
not even a vegetable there. That's right. She's so here. You guys split it up. This is our way of saying from the Emanuel family, have a happy and a healthy new year.
Aww.
Can I give you my gift to you? Do you remember what I got you last year?
It was something...
Mench on a bench.
That's like right. Actually, you know what? It is in the office, in the conference room.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
that's right.
Uh-huh. This year, I spent a lot of time looking for it, because isn't it you're a fun guy?
Yeah.
Hanukkah bingo.
Hanukkah bingo.
Hanukkah bingo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
You think
holidays.
After 5,060 years that that we finally came up...
Fun for
them. Yeah. 5,060 plus years, we finally came up with a gift that the whole family can play, rather than fight.
Right. Provided for you entertainment hours.
You know, some of us say human civilization has been developing for a little over 5,000 years.
Yeah.
Along comes somebody like Steve Cochran. You wonder what we've been doing all this time. But you finally
Hanukkah
came.
Bingo.
There it is, man.
Hey, did you and your brothers play board games? I can't imagine with the competitive as you three are. You must have killed each other.
Let me say this. We did. Actually, so family had, dad had a serious rule. He made us all play chess and checkers.
Okay.
But we did graduate to board games. I would not want to put any hand or anything on it.
They must have all ended in a
fist fight. Risk. We were not a Monopoly family.
One.
We were a risk.
Risk.
Roving coalitions of destruction. It would make what's going on in Korea now look like a petty game compared to what
who
we
do. Won most of the time?
Well, it depends who was in what coalition at that time.
Ah,
it was literally, I would just say this, Henry Kissinger and Metternich would have been proud of the game we played. It was roving coalitions constantly of destruction.
Of course it was.
Who was the most vulnerable and literally just rip at them.
I used to have, you know, I had the occasional fist fight with my brother. Did you ever go fist with your brother?
Well, see, here's the, you have to understand a Jewish family. No, we never did.
Never did.
Except for what Grandpa did, because Grandpa was a boxer. We used to box downstairs, and he would ref.
Put the gloves on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More like mittens than gloves. But what we had was, so Ezekiel, the doctor in the family, the eldest, he had his own room. Ari and I are 16 months apart to the day, November 29th, March 29th. So we always shared a room. So the game started as Ari and I against Zeke, because he's the oldest. We hated him. We wanted to kill him. And still exists as a modus operandi. And then as the game evolved, there would be a Zeke-Rom coalition, Ari-Zeke, just about basically who you could destroy and hurt the most.
Right, yeah. And as long as you two were together, nobody was going to beat you.
Well, you had to have two.
Sure.
And so if you survived as one, you won the game, basically.
We were taking.
How about you, Mr. Cochran?
Yeah, my brother and I. You ever meet Oprah?
Yes, I have.
Do you have a good Oprah story for us? We've been doing brushes with Oprah all morning.
No, I have not. I don't have a singular Oprah story that would kind of stand out.
I'll tell you a cool Oprah.
I'm for a whole, the whole country. Just one little thing.
What's that?
Forget all the kind of where all the rhetoric's going and all the. I think it'd be good if the whole country kind of was in a book club. Right now,
Amen.
All right,
amen.
This week we're going to do.
Yes.
I think that would. Forget the reality of this or non-reality. I think the whole country in a book club would be actually a good exercise right now after 1 year with this guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be a soothing, calming.
You know, everybody would have to put their phone down for. Everybody would have to put their phone down for at least an hour.
No electronics. We're going to read a book. We're going to read a book on a tablet, but everybody be in a book club.
It's a great idea.
Great idea.
By the way, I loved her speech. I'm sure you saw it. And who couldn't love her speech? But why does it have to turn her into a candidate? Why can't it just be a great speech?
Well, that's. I think. So the political analyst in me.
Yeah.
I think this is more about Trump and less about her.
Right. Yeah, okay. Please, anyone else?
Yeah, well, I think she spoke to our better angels in contrast to what happens at 1600 Pennsylvania. She gave a speech about what we could become, not what we fear, mm-hmm. but what we hope mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. So I think when you think about it, why did people gravitate to the power of it and the authenticity of it? Because in every both words and passion, it addresses all the absence of what you don't see out of 1600 Pennsylvania.
Fair. Absolutely fair.
Yeah.
Is he mentally fit to be in the White House?
Look, I voted against him, so I don't think he's fit to be president, whether you think it's mentally, physically, emotionally.
There you go.
I think he's wrong on every level for the country. I don't think it's a good 48 hours if the entire discussion on the country is whether you're mentally fit.
No.
Okay.
No. Regardless of what your job is.
That is not you know, a lot of people, you know, after the morning actually talk about whether you're mentally fit to handle a radio.
Oh, at 10 o'clock. Yeah. At 10 o'clock, that discussion.
By 10:01, the social media is just on a rave about whether you're mentally fit.
Where were you on vacation? Your tan is amazing.
Well, first of all.
And I mean that in a masculine man-to-man sort of way.
I want to hug you. Come here, you big boy, you.
Give him an Oprah hug. It'll end everything.
Myself uncomfortable. No, where were you?
No, we were on a, you know the tradition, the family.
Yes.
We take the kids and just chill out. And so this time we were on a catamaran in Belize going through the islands. And
how great was that?
It was, first of all, for marine relaxing. Great. Read three great books. One on World War I by Mark McMillan, Dalek's new book on FDR, one on Osage Indians. Great books. What's not great is, so taking a page out of my dad, I always started the kids on Scrabble.
Okay.
Playing, and you had to keep score. So you not only know the words, you have to learn how to count, you have to keep the score.
Right.
That's your responsibility. Ever since UCLA and Brown, I'm not doing well at Scrabble. Very bad for the ego. I went 0-9.
Oh, the family's crushing you.
Not the family. The two punks. not the family. Amy, actually, in one game, it was Zach, Alana, and Leah versus me. Amy and I lost. I'm not getting my money's worth.
Zero respect.
They are getting really a good education.
Yeah, they are.
And my ego took a real shot in family Scrabble.
Is that when you dove off the boat? Said I'm out of here?
No, I threw them off the boat. I paid for that boat.
All right, I want to talk
back.
About,
Okay, the current's against you.
I want to talk to you about Whole Foods.
Okay.
Because I think it's a really good story.
Yes.
But I also want to talk to you about whatever happened with Chris Kennedy the other day, because we had him on the show, and I want to tell you the exchange.
Okay.
And then we don't have to talk about the president anymore, because I feel we've covered it.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel's here, and as we get into 2018, I am optimistic about your city and my city and our city like never before, because I think there's a lot of good things on the horizon. But one of the reasons I appreciate you coming in, outside of the obvious, is you usually bring a piece of good news that's going on, and this Whole Foods story in Pullman is a big deal. So explain what happened.
Well, first of all, in the last 5 years, 1,100 new jobs have moved into the Pullman area, and if you go larger than that, close to about 3,000-4,000 on
which
the southeast side.
Which is a great neighborhood, by the way.
Yes. And so what happened was we went after the Whole Foods distribution center from the entire Midwest, got it out of Indiana, brought it to Chicago, and there's going to be 150 jobs there. It's distributed for the entire Midwest. We also then have the Method factory that was supposed to go to Battle Creek, Michigan. Brought it there. The community, the alderman, myself, Gotham Green, the largest roof for fresh vegetables, Steve, in the world,
right,
is right there. So 1,100 jobs is another 150. Every one of these companies were supposed to go somewhere else. They saw the community. They saw the passion. They saw the workforce. There's now new housing going up. Gwendolyn Brooks High School, one of the top 20 in the state of Illinois, right there.
Right.
You have Poe Elementary, which is a blue ribbon, nationally recognized, only 300 schools in the country. So there's a renaissance going, and it's rather than talk about the past of Pullman and talk about kind of the forgotten past, which we're going to honor with being a national monument.
Right.
There's the promise of Pullman, the progress that's happening, and there's 1,100 new jobs.
It's a big deal.
In that area, 150 just from the Whole Foods Distribution Center. That was in Indiana.
Yeah.
So I just say to the governor, I know you talk about what's going on in Indiana. Those jobs came here.
Right.
Battle Creek, Michigan, those jobs came here. Ottawa, they had the auto factory. Those are now the third shift at the Ford plant. Everything that was supposed to be somewhere else, they're coming here because great workers, great work ethic, with a great transportation system.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before, but one of the ways you can tell a major metropolitan area is thriving or doing well or doing better, pick your choice, cranes.
Yes.
Cranes up all over the city.
It's well, look, they're all over, but it's the good news is we got to have a strategy, which is one city, one future. The Pullman area is happening. Bronzeville is happening. It's happening in Woodlawn and area. There's other places that aren't happening. We have work to do, and that's we're going to get to it. But as you noted, last year we hit a record 62 cranes up the air, about 1,000 people per crane.
How about
working,
that?
Building the future.
With Google and Facebook deciding as the two world companies of the highest order that they want to have a home base in Chicago as well, does that tip the scales for meetings that maybe you didn't know you were going to have?
Well, in a couple weeks, we're going to put out our visitors, and I think we set a all-time record for Chicago in visitors, north of 50 million. And that adds up to about 20,000 jobs in the hospitality industry. And those are a lot of people working at hotels, restaurants, et cetera, that help actually support a family. There was a woman that introduced me yesterday when from down there. She's now started at Method. She's now been promoted. She has three kids in school. She used to drive 2 hours for a job. She now drives 10 minutes for a job. That means another hour with her kids. So she's not only a good worker, she's a good parent. She works in a factory. Her mother came. And you just look at that. What was before versus what's happening, and that's the work we're all doing together to bring Pullman into the future. And the alderman, Anthony Beal's, done a great job, and it's good to be a partner with him and the community. Literally all these factories were going somewhere else, or they were somewhere else. They're all here now, putting close to about 3,000 people to work when you took the new Chinese rail factory right here in Chicago, the new auto plant of a shift at Ford.
They're all wins.
Yes, big time. Yeah. So it's not just cranes. It's actual manufacturing also.
Jobs that exist.
Yes.
Right. Good crime numbers, too, last year. The city saw a decline of more than 100 homicides last year. I know you wanted to put 1,000 more officers on the street. 50 are going to be hitting the street within the next month.
They hit it Sunday.
They hit it on Sunday.
Every month.
So the police presence getting better. Obviously, carjacking's an issue right now, but that's good. I want to see police on the streets.
Look, you're going to get every month we're going to add another down payment towards the 1,000 additional new officers. There was one of the biggest declines in 15 years in homicides, but we have work to do. But the good news is, unlike what's happening in other cities that are seeing year after year increase, we saw a decline. Now we got to build off of it. The officers, the mentors, the after school, the summer jobs, but also economic improvements in the neighborhood. That all is a combination. The good news is our officers are back doing their job. They have the leadership to be both professional and proactive rather than reactive, and that's key.
Well, and that's a good segue into the Chris Kennedy story. Chris Kennedy wants to be governor. He was in here last week. I like a lot of the things he says, and he's been on the show many times as well. But I wake up one morning and there's screaming headlines that Mayor Emanuel is part of an endemic system that you, like Dr. Evil, have some place where you're planning, trying to drive black folks out of the city. Yeah. I don't know if he just overreached at a particular event, but what he said to me in here was, and he said this on the air, it's nothing personal, but the buck stops with you and blacks are leaving the city, and that's the story. So what do you say?
Well, look, this is a serious issue, not just for Chicago, urban centers across the country. Serious issue requires a serious policy. And rather than get ideas, we got insults.
Mm-hmm.
And second is, you know, he supported my reelection in 2015.
Right.
With a financial support. Never said anything. When he asked me to support him for governor, and I said I was going to stay out of the race, he never raised this issue. Now, I've been around politics long enough. You got about 9 weeks left in the election. This is just politics, and the voters will make a decision about this rhetoric and this campaign.
How is Pritzker going to work with Mike Madigan, and why should the people? And I'm talking about two other people other than you, and they've both been invited on the show, but you're here. So Pritzker
must have gotten the short straw.
Yeah, you lost. You lost the bet. Pritzker and Madigan. How does it change if J.B. Pritzker is the governor?
Well, look here,
because the state is broken.
Yeah, you know, first of all, that's not true. That's rhetoric that's pushed out of this building. We have challenges. You have the fifth largest economy in the United States. You're not broke. You just got to make some choices. As John Kennedy once said, to govern is to choose. And we're the fifth largest economy. The question is, are we going to invest in the future? You talked everything about Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We have a simple strategy. Invest in talent, invest in training, invest in transportation, invest in technology, and invest in transparency. And you'll have success. Chicago now has the highest employment in the private sector in the history of the city. And we're doing it even with a state that's actually dragging us back. My view is the governor is about to do a budget a month from now. Okay?
Yeah.
And I want to say one quick thing. He's never passed a budget. No governor in the United States of America has ever gone four straight years. So the real question is not what Pritzker will do. Will Rauner actually proposed a balanced budget with real numbers and then pass it?
Yeah, but you know how this works. One side says you've never passed a budget. It's your constitutional obligation. And the other side gets in the way of things that are happening.
I love you. Now, here's the deal. It's not how this works. Every governor, Democrat, Republican across the United States over the last 100 years has done it. This is the first guy that's never done it.
I get that, but I don't want to make this about Madigan because we'll drive this into the ground. But Mike Madigan is unlike anybody else in the country. No other state has Mike Madigan anymore. All those political bosses who have played those games are gone. So I would like Mr. Madigan to say, I would like this state to succeed at a level it hasn't before and accept some of the responsibility.
Listen, I just told you, Chicago now has the highest private sector employment ever. Can you imagine what would happen if we had a state that actually had its oar in the water pulling rather than going the other way?
Right.
You ever row with somebody and they can't seem to get the rhythm going?
Right.
You're the governor. You're not anybody.
Yeah, but
you're the chief executive.
I want to go peaches and Herb with you because you used to get reunited and it feels so good.
Okay.
Because you and Governor Rauner used to get along great. And I firmly believe whoever is governor of the state of Illinois, you have to have a good working relationship with the mayor. So what's the state of your relationship with Governor Rauner?
It's not the problem I have, and I'm up front, it's not personal. You keep trashing the economic engine of the state of Illinois. The suburbs are falling behind Chicago. Downstate's clearly falling behind the rest of the state and the rest of the region. Chicago is actually, academically, our students are carrying the graduation rate and the test scores. At job creation, Chicago's carrying the rest of the state. Revenue for the state and to invest is carrying it. Investing in the airport and mass transit and in roads and our parks and our schools, Chicago's carrying. Do your job for the rest of the state. Have them start putting their oar in the water and pulling and helping us move forward.
Does he reach out to you?
No.
Well, how can you get anything done if you guys aren't talking?
Our administrations talk. We talk all the time. I said to the governor.
Well, he's got your cell phone. He can pick up the phone and call you.
But he doesn't call. And, you know, as in the last session when we finally got the labor's and municipal pension over his veto. We got that done. We got the financing that allows us to get the save $200 million on interest payments and invest it in police officers that we just talked about.
Right.
We also then had the school financing that finally treated the kids of the city of Chicago as equal citizens. All of that was done against his veto. I think he has a strategy that is backwards, where our competition isn't Frankfort, Kentucky. Our competition is London, New York, L.A., Berlin, Beijing, and he's trying to do an economy and do thing and talk about an economy where he doesn't understand where the future is, and he's not willing to invest in the future. You want that future? You have to invest in the future. The reason Chicago's turned the corner is because we're investing in that future, willing to seize it. It, you know what? Denial is not a long-term strategy. It's a river in Egypt.
You know what? You're better than the B material.
Yes,
I know we kept you long, but Andre, one more.
I was late, according to you, so I want to stay a little longer.
I thought we started over.
You know what? I got Jewish memory.
What?
Wow, we should have done that. That's fantastic. Real quick, Mayor, we want to keep people in the city of Chicago, development in the South Loop, West Loop, as far as condo buildings, everything's going up. It's great. We need a little more transparency. I know this is probably a county issue, but at the assessor's office and with regard
You're right,
to...
right, it is a county issue.
I know.
Well, so here's what I we've done.
Yeah.
We fought hard. Another thing we got done in Springfield working with the leadership there. We got another 40% from your homeowner's exemption on your property taxes. So to the highest exemption ever. And that's going to help people who own a home, own a condo, get the type of break they need.
Who's going to run against you?
Well, you should have them on. So I don't know. My view is, look, do we have an election in 2018? I'm focused on doing my job, making sure, like what we did in Pullman today, I'm going to announce new housing that's going up in Washington Park because we have a new excess tenants facility, a new train station, new coffee shops, restaurants. There's a renaissance going on in Woodlawn as well as in Washington Park. And we're going to keep moving forward and one day at a time, right foot in front of the left foot, sleeves rolled up, making sure we have one future, one city.
I want people to vote in the primary.
Okay.
And I'm pushing for people to be registered to vote in the primary. We're going to continue to push for it.
Yeah.
Because if 10% of the population shows up, the far right and the far left are always going to be able to tell the story. And the people in the middle who go, what happened, need to get off their couch and go vote.
I'm 100% not just because you can't complain afterwards. We have there is in politics and reflection of society the extremes pulling and therefore leave no consensus of how to work together. We just reached an agreement with 31 different unions on what I think is really important to control our health care costs, but also they had some wins. The city taxpayers had some wins. That's how you reach across the aisle and get consensus. The other person doesn't have to lose for you to win. They're only going to say yes if they come out of there with certain things that are important to them. We just did it. We're going to have, when I became mayor, health care costs were rising at 10% a year, the highest in the entire budget.
Yep.
They've now been flat for 8 years, relatively flat. And I had labor be a partner in achieving a historic financial restructuring for the city. That's really, really important. But we did it in something they had to give, and then I heard what they needed that was important for them. That's working together. And if you don't vote in an election, you're not going to have consensus politics. I don't think we're divided. As a country, I don't think we're divided as a city. I think we're disconnected. And if you hear other people, you go and see where they live and how they live. I think we're going to be able, not only as a country, but my concern is as a city, pull people together in a way where you can have your pride, north side, south side, west side, all the northwest side, southwest side. You can be proud of teams. You can be proud of your neighborhood. I want you to be there. But we have to have one city with one future working together.
We have a slogan for it. It's MAVA, Make America Vote Again. All right, last swing.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you, like, stay up late at night thinking of that one? Because I want you to go back and do some REM sleeping on that, okay?
Whiteboard? Yeah, back to the whiteboard?
That would not make it into the on the button. Okay?
I was up late.
All right.
I was late.
Are we done with the Riverwalk, too? Are we still expanding on that?
We have some plans coming. Stay tuned.
Okay.
Okay.
A little preview? A little tease?
Okay. We're going to make sure we go all the way to the lake and make sure that it's developed.
Nice.
But that we're not there yet.
You want a tomato?
No, I don't. That's it. Let me say this. If I told Amy that I took tomatoes out of the bag from you, she would say that you're not eating healthy for 2018. And I know you made it. What was your... I'll give you a great story. So we, part of our holidays with families, we make pledges for 2018.
Resolutions? Pledges?
Yeah. So I said... When it came to me, I call my parents every day, but I end up talking to my dad more. I said, I'm going to talk more to my mother and take time. They're 91 and 84.
That's interesting. It usually goes the other way, where dad goes, how's the weather?
No, I talk every day, and we talk about, it's quick, but we talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a pledge. I'm going to spend more time talking to mom, not just dad.
That's nice.
So I come home Saturday from yoga. Amy and I do yoga together on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
That's our. That's what date nights now become. It's yoga on Saturday morning. And she goes, I invited your parents for dinner. Like, you know, my body started convulsing. I was like, what? And she goes, you made a pledge you're going to talk to your mother more. I said, yeah, on the phone. I never said anything at dinner for 3 hours. Wait a second. That's my pledge. Don't mess with my... why don't you stick to your resolution, okay? But actually, it was a... We had them over. All the kids... Zach hadn't gone back yet to college. And we had a... They were telling stories about their immigration to my dad's side, to Israel from Ukraine. My mother's family.
How cool is that?
No, my mother's... My mother's mother's side of the family was part of, let's just say, they didn't really abide by prohibition. And where they were in the whole bootlegging industry, et cetera. And he was...
My
great uncle was shot down here in Chicago. And so it was great stories for the kids, all the things I knew. But it was,
a good story.
I checked the box. I already fulfilled 2018. What's your resolution, Steve? Now.
Get healthier. And
and you're relying on Amy Rule to do
it? In general. No, on the process. No, I've told you. We're working on it. But that is one good tomato.
It's delicious.
It is a good tomato.
That's a good
and they're
tomato.
Not bad frozen, are they?
No, they're really good, actually.
They're tasty.
It's like a different version of it's a healthy jawbreaker.
All right, plug for the podcast, and I'll let you go.
Chicago Stories. Last week we had David Axelrod on, so if you want to hear or talk about politics.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Tim Black. This is, we're coming up to Martin Luther King Week, a great historian about the civil rights movement and the migration, great migration in Chicago. And we're going to have him on this week to talk about Chicago and how the great migration not only changed Chicago, but changed his life.
Yeah, and the Women's March Part 2 is later on this month as well.
Yes, exactly.
Nice to see you, and enjoy your Hanukkah bingo.
Happy and a healthy new year, with the emphasis on healthy.
And thank you. You as well.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.